This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, welcome, boys and girls. Thank you for joining us today as we talk about something that we all are familiar with, the Earth. Sit back, get ready, learn a few things, and you're also welcome to make your comments, 979-0919. We'll take some phone calls shortly, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. We are going to be talking about Earth Week. One of my questions early on is going to be, when did Earth Day become Earth Week? We'll get into that. We have Amy Predmore and Tatiana Patton, two women, co-presidents of what's going on at Earth Week. And you know what? I'll do this right now because it seems to fit in. One of the partners and sponsors of Earth Week, as well as WNRN, Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, let's thank them for being here for everybody. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports has outdoor sandals for you, as well as gear for spring travel, including shorts and duffel bags and really cool sun hats. You'll find Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville and at brms.com. All right, so let's welcome everyone into the program who's here in the studio. Amy Predmore, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Rick. Thanks.
Thank you for being here. Yeah, how come I'm the only one in the room who got a sunburn from yesterday?
Because we were inside working on plans for Earth Week.
I was outside at the barn raising for the goats down in Nelson County. Yeah, well, at least I didn't have to tackle them for hoof trimming or shovel their garage out for more space. But yes. And we also have Tatiana Patton, Vice President from Ravana Conservation Society, as well as a Policy Associate at Public Policy of Virginia. So many titles. How do you fit all that on your business card?
I just have one business card from PPV.
And it's front and back, right? All right, we are going to talk about Earth Week. How did the two of you come together for Earth Week here in Charlotte? When does Earth Week officially start? Because it's not today. Today's the 13th.
Well, it officially starts on April the 18th, and it's actually kind of grown into Earth 10 Days, but that doesn't sound as snappy as Earth Week. The first kickoff is going to be with the tree plantings from Charlottesville Parks on the 18th, 19th, and 20th.
Tree plantings?
Tree plantings.
What are you going to be doing? I mean, okay, so you're going to be planting trees, but why and, you know, what for? Are we just trying to create more oxygen in the air?
Creating more pretty leaves in the air, protecting October? Stream buffers by increasing the amount of vegetation along public property.
Now, the majority of things that we mentioned during the hour, are these things that the general public, when they find out from the two of you when and where, that they can participate in?
Oh, yes.
Definitely.
All right. So on Saturday, is that right? When the heck is the 18th?
Well, the 18th is Friday, and we'll actually be at Fridays After 5 on Friday.
Sweet. That's a good way to start.
Yeah, so people can come by and find out more about Earth Day. And
recycle their empty beer cups?
Actually, the Pavilion has a really good recycling program. I think they instituted it last year, maybe the year before. And so, yes, there is recycling at the Pav now.
All right, so you'll have a lot. Like, you handed me this very nicely done I guess a promotional folder. It's more than a folder. What is this? Program?
Program guide.
It's a program guide for Earth Week, Charlottesville Earth Week 2008 official program guide.
And we'll also be selling raffle tickets.
Selling raffle tickets.
Yes.
Another reason for people to stop by the booth. Now, Fridays After 5 is the kickoff start.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't Fridays After 5 collect money for various programs? Do you get the money for this particular Fridays After Five event?
The volunteers who will be working at Fridays will be earning money to help us put on these events.
Okay.
So it's
all right. So they
win-win.
Can start by seeing you at Fridays After Five.
Mm-hmm.
And what do they learn and what do they get out of that?
Well, they can pick up a program guide and find out all about what's going on throughout the week, and all about what's going on Earth Day itself. And they can buy a raffle ticket and possibly win a kayak or a 7-speed folding bike, a composter, a lot of other really cool things.
And then on Friday afternoon, actually, I guess before even Fridays After Five, they can be where for tree plantings?
Charlottesville Parks and Rec is going to be running the tree plantings. This is an annual thing for them. Susan Pleiss over at the Parks and Rec office is the contact person if you want to volunteer. Or if you want to email, it's parkvolunteers@charlottesville.org. And there will be plantings all over the park system, azalea, Meadow Creek. It just depends on what needs it. She breaks them up into about 5 groupings, 5 sessions over the first weekend of Earth Week. So if you don't have time on Friday, you can join one or two on Saturday or one or two on Sunday.
Okay, so it's not like, okay, Friday from, you know, 2 to 4, we're going to be planting stuff, and if you miss it, you miss it.
No, it'll be throughout the first weekend. Susan Pleiss is the contact for that.
Okay. So back to, I guess, the first question that I have that I skipped over. When did Earth Day become Earth Week? Because this is not just here in Charlottesville, correct?
Actually, it is.
Is it really? So we're
Earth
cool
Day
again. We're
still
we're the first group to be setting the example.
I like to think that about Charlottesville frequently. Earth Day became Earth Week because the way that Earth Day, the new incarnation of the Earth Day celebration in town started, was me, Lonnie Murray, and Bobby Collier solicited events from the organizations in town that about what they were doing for fundraisers, what they were doing for awareness, and started publicizing them. Well, it grew as we became more successful in getting word out and getting volunteers on site to help out with those projects. More people started joining and putting things on our calendar. So we went from being an eco fair into being an 8 or 10 day series of events, so that people could sponsor more opportunities for awareness.
I think it's also fair to say that we have Earth Day and Earth Week. So in most places, you might see a big celebration on Earth Day and not all of the events going on after Earth Day. But we have both a really big celebration on Earth Day and a ton of really great events going on for the next, 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting here talking about Earth Week, which starts, I guess, this coming Friday with Amy Predmore and Tatiana Patton, co-presidents of our local Earth Week event or events. So feel free to write down the number. We're going to start taking phone calls shortly on why some of these things are important. There are 3 major campaigns that we're going to get into a little bit into the hour. I'm curious as to, has America improved or worsened, ecologically speaking, over the last decade or so?
Okay, you're looking at me, so I get to answer this one. Thank you. I would say that America is improving because there are more ideas out there. This is being talked about in the media. This is being talked about by the man on the street. A decade ago, environmentalism was for liberal tree huggers. And this is a movement that was started by Republicans. Teddy Roosevelt, National Park System. And it became so associated with the liberal progressive mindset that we lost the mainstream somewhere along the way. Now, because of the media attention on global warming and climate change, the average man on the street is beginning to think about these issues. Whether this is going to translate into manifestable ideas that will help the situation is yet to be seen. There are a lot of ideas out there, but at least people are talking about it now. So, yes, that's an improvement.
And we at the Earth Week group this year has been trying to build on the momentum established as a consequence of the increased awareness of global climate change. And our theme this year is global change, local action, so that everything, all of the campaigns that we're launching on Earth Day have a sort of addressing climate change agenda.
But just to be the obnoxious, you know, guy who doesn't buy any of this, the devil's advocate mindset, aren't we creating more trash than we are creating trash faster than we are even beginning to recycle it?
Our consumption habits, yes, they have increased. But we also have improved the technology for dealing with the issues.
Aren't we using more plastic bags and just letting them sit on the side of the road because it's not profitable for businesses to attempt to recycle those? I mean, it's gotten to the point now where I believe in several of these comments throughout the hour are going to come from my NPR ears, that I believe some cities in the California area are banning plastic bags because they're not being recycled and because they're not profitable for the grocery stores and the other stores to recycle them. And they are getting very close to forcing the consumer to purchase those reusable bags like you see at several of our Charlottesville area grocery stores. Is that the next step? Is instead of becoming, you know, positive, soul-spirited individuals who want to do these sorts of things, that people in charge, people whose bottom line is somehow inlaid with our recycling habits, that they say, this is what you're going to do?
I think it takes both things. You need grassroots activism because unless people's habits change, and they're usually more influenced by their neighbors, their peers, their friends, their family, unless their habits change, then whatever policy you put in place is not going to be as effective over the long term. And you need grassroots leaders to influence the politicians to make those policies. But yes, there also has to be a second step at the policy level where we decide that we're going to do the right thing, not necessarily the cheap thing, but the right thing. Because when these resources dry up, what else are we going to use to produce our food and our clothing and everything else?
Also, one of the things we're trying to do with Earth Week is bring people together who care about changing so that they don't feel alone in the face of this overwhelming problem. And with community support, maybe everyone will feel more comfortable making small changes in their own lives so that the top-down regulations won't be as necessary.
What is a small change? I hear that. And again, I'm just trying to be the butthead guy who doesn't want to, you know, make the effort to take my newspapers to McIntyre Recycling Center or, set aside my smelly, beer bottles until I somehow make time for that or can stuff them in the, somebody else's recycling bin because I don't want to make the effort. So what are the small things that I can do?
If you think along the lines of the initiatives that we're launching three initiatives. One, encouraging or that addresses or deals with compact fluorescent light bulbs. Another is local food, and another is transportation. So simply, people could change out an incandescent bulb and replace it with a compact fluorescent bulb. They could buy more local food, and they could use their car less and walk or bike or use transit more. And those are things that just one of those things could make a difference in the
overall energy consumption.
Yeah, and we're going to get into those, listeners. We're going to get into a little more detail on those three major campaigns of Earth Week, as is being brought to you by Amy Predmore and Tatiana Patton and a few of their friends and sponsors. Who wants to throw out? I've got a question over here on the WNRN studio instant message board, but I have to lean way out of way to read it. So, Tatiana, you had a list of some people who were and organizations that were helping put this all together. So take a moment and do that.
Well, first, we'd like to thank our partners, the City of Charlottesville, the County of Albemarle, the University of Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, Alliance for Community Choice and Transportation, Outdoor Adventures Social Club, Public Policy Virginia, Blue Ridge Eco Shop, Ravana Conservation Society, 106.1 The Corner, and, Gravity Lounge.
You can't mention
Sorry.
Them on the air. Sorry.
Sorry.
And WNRN 91.9, because we're right here
putting
this on the air for an hour as a community project.
I was saving the best for last week.
Okay, good. Gosh, you're going to get my butt fried by that. A comment from a listener is that plastic water bottles are ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Comments? Feedback?
I would tend to agree, but we have a society that is built on crude oil. We have nylon in our underwear. We have plastic around everything. It's going to take quite a bit of effort to get us off of that. These are products that are made from crude oil. And so I agree, but I don't have an easy solution for you. Go out and buy a SIG bottle. They're made out of tempered steel, and you can get them at Blue Ridge Eco Shop. And drink your water from that. There you go.
There's another comment here that says something about disposable razors. So I guess we're getting into the entire disposable
The disposable
mindset.
Society, yes.
Mm-hmm. Aren't disposable razors okay?
That depends. I suppose that if it's a disposable strop razor, I haven't seen one of those yet.
All right. Let me get back on track. 11:17 here in the wake-up call. As we talk about Earth Day, its progression into Earth Week in the Charlottesville Albemarle Central Virginia Society. Tatiana Patton, Amy Predmore here, co-presidents of this year's the 2008 events and adventures here in our area. One of the things that I read was Environmental Movie Week. It seems to me that for a lot of people, visual understanding works best. So tell me about Environmental Movie Week and, you know, what's going on and what someone would learn from watching one of these movies.
Well, Environmental Movie Week is actually more of a half week. It starts Wednesday the 23rd, runs through Saturday the 26th, and the movies will be shown at Gravity Lounge at 2 p.m. each day. On Wednesday, we have The Real Dirt on The Real Dirt on Farmer John, which is being sponsored by the Piedmont Virginian. And this points toward one of our initiatives, growing food and community. And you get to see how a farmer went from inheriting his family's very large standard agribusiness farm, losing that, and then rediscovering how to make it as a farmer, as a community-supported agriculture farm outside of Chicago. And it's a rather fascinating film because the character of Farmer John is actually a very interesting person to watch. And so for a documentary, it's actually very good entertainment as well.
All right, let me take this call and we'll keep coming back throughout the hour to the next movie.
Mm-hmm.
We have Doug from Richmond. Hey, Doug.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, man, what you bringing to the table today?
Well, I just wanted to put a plug in for the state arborist to supervise these sign cuts when you need a visual for a sign cut and how protective they are of certain trees which are not to be taken down. And we were out there, I don't want to name a company or anything, but we're out there cutting trees so the people from the highway can see the sign And the state arborists are very particular about what you can cut and how much you can top them. And,
so we're actually giving a plug to the state for doing something right in, the, in an environmental way.
Yeah, they're helping out all they can. And then to mention the plants and the shrubs that they plant alongside the road is done by the state.
Yeah, and they have a lot of wildflowers in the medians on the interstate.
Yeah, I planted some 2 years ago in my backyard. I got a handful of those or two. But anyway,
all right.
I wanted to compliment those guys that work for the state, and they really care.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
You have a nice day.
All right. 1120, that was Doug calling in from Richmond. Phone lines are open now, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. We have Amy Predvor and Tatiana Patton here in the studio. Let me do this real quick. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Partly cloudy chance of afternoon thundershowers today, 50 to 55, a little warmer in Richmond. Mostly cloudy tonight with some showers, and after midnight, possibly some snow in the Lynchburg and higher elevations. Lows 30 to 35. Cloudy tomorrow, highs 45 to 50, and again, a little warmer in Richmond. Clear in the valley where it's 50. Cloudy everywhere else. 48 in Lynchburg, 60 in Richmond, 51 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
All right, let's take a moment to thank Blue Ridge Graphics as well. You can find them at Meade Avenue in East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom T-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. All right, back in action here with Amy and Tatiana. Tatiana?
Yeah.
You wanted to finish up that...
The Environmental Movie Week lineup. So we went over Wednesday the 23rd, 2 p.m., The Real Dirt on Farmer John. Thursday we'll be showing Crude Impact, which obviously takes aim at the oil industry, and discusses ANWR and oil reserves. That is being sponsored by Public Policy Virginia. That's Thursday the 24th. Friday the 25th, the Growing Food and Community Group is going to be sponsoring a showing of Eat at Bill's, which is about the Monterey Farmers Market and how they made a success out of the local food industry there. And then Saturday, we have kind of a double feature. We've got Kilowatt Hours showing at 2 o'clock on Saturday, the 26th. That's after the Dogwood Parade. And that's being sponsored by UVA Green Grounds. After that, we'll have a presentation on climate change and a discussion on how it's affecting Virginia, which is being led by Al Weed of Public Policy.
All right, so let's jump in. And those things can be found at 2 o'clock Wednesday through Saturday at Gravity Lounge.
Yes.
All right, and you can. Where can people pick up this the Earth Week program guide?
They've been distributed all over town. So if they don't find them in their local stores, they can come to Fridays After 5 and pick one up. They can also come by the Blue Ridge Eco Shop.
Are they going to be stuck, like, inside the Hook? Or the other weekly newspaper who does not sponsor this program?
No, not inside the Hook, but they should be. People should be able to find stacks of the program guides.
Much like they would the Virginia Film Festival or Book Festival,
right.
Programs. Okay,
yes.
So if you can find it in wherever you found a film festival guide, you can probably find an Earth Week guide.
We'll also be handing them out at the Eco Fair. On Saturday, which is sort of the official big kickoff to Earth Week. And the Eco Fair starts at 8:30 with the Tread Lightly Trail Run. It's a 5K trail run through the woods of McIntyre Park and will continue until 10 when the Eco Fair officially starts.
All right. Again, Amy Predmore and Tatiana Patton, as we sit here and talk about Charlottesville's Earth Week. And I'm sure that while I keep saying Charlottesville Earth Week, the goal is to expand it much beyond the Charlottesville Albemarle area and into Central Virginia as a whole and beyond. Which leads me to the next, I guess, part of the discussion. The Eco Fair has three major campaigns, correct?
Right.
And Amy, you mentioned these earlier by title. There's the Discover Transportation Freedom,
right,
which is about alternative modes of transportation.
Right.
There's the Charlottesville CFLs, which is compact fluorescent light bulbs, and we'll get into that in a moment. And the Local Foods for Life, which is obviously about how to bring, I think the term here is buy fresh, buy local.
Mm-hmm.
So more local foods rather than the 18-wheelers tracking it in. All right, Discover Transportation Freedom. Let's just dump at that because it's at the top of my list.
Okay, well, the Discover Transportation Freedom Initiative is starting, the launch of it is at the Eco Fair, and it will continue until mid-November. And every 2 weeks, volunteers will be targeting one of 16 neighborhoods in Charlottesville, and they'll be going door-to-door promoting a transportation social and a bike ride in the neighborhoods. And the first one is actually going to be on Saturday. People should meet at the Greenbrier Elementary School at 9 o'clock, and there'll be a bike ride from the Greenbrier Elementary School to the Eco Fair. We're encouraging everybody to come to the Eco Fair using creative transportation if they can. In addition to the Greenbrier bike ride, we'll also have a transit service running from the downtown transit station to the county office building to the Eco Fair every half hour. But going back to the Discover Transportation Freedom Initiative, every 2 weeks in a different neighborhood, there will be a transportation social, like a potluck or a gathering at someone's house, where people from the neighborhood can get together and learn more about ways to get around their neighborhoods without cars. And then,
now, what qualifies as a neighborhood? Now, especially for people who are not familiar with the Charlottesville area, and whether that's because you're new or because you're listening on one of the, you know, one of the other stations in Harrisonburg or Lynchburg or Lovingston, et cetera. What is the size of a neighborhood? Because when you say getting around the neighborhood without your car, what is the EcoFair expectation of my walking or unicycling or, you know, whatever, jogging to my neighbor's house? What is your expectation size-wise?
That's probably a better question for the Alliance for Community Choice and Transportation, who's sponsoring the event. And you can contact them at info@transportationchoice.org. But from an Earth Week perspective, the idea is that you might be able to walk to a transit station and then take a bus someplace else, take a bus to the Earth Week event. Or you might drive to a park and ride place and then carpool elsewhere. So it's not within a neighborhood, it's among neighborhoods.
So recognizing that at this point, and I don't believe this is just limited to Charlottesville, that our society is not built where I can walk to my grocery store or my pharmacy the majority of my needs through walking or biking, you're asking me to reduce some of my car use.
Exactly, right.
Now, how many, Charlottesville has improved the bus system in some manners. They now have a system set up, by the way, especially if you use the bus on a regular basis, or bike or walk, 979-0919. Or if you're out of the area and you carpool and how you help reduce things, 877-WNRN-ROCKS. Charlottesville has improved their bus system in some manners. They have a device that allows you to see exactly where the bus is in terms of approaching the bus station that you're waiting in, correct? Or the bus shelter that you're in. Not for all of mm-hmm. them, but for some of them.
Yes, certainly at the transit center, yes.
They have gotten rid of some of the diesel buses, correct? And replaced them with some less stinky buses?
I am going to have to say that bus transit is not something that I am familiar with. I know about the routes, the improvements to the routes.
Is that because you ride your car by yourself everywhere you go?
It's because I'm on the free trolley line. That's been regular ever since it was created because it's so popular, and it comes by every 15 minutes. So I'm pretty set for my mass transit there. I also live over in the JPA area, which is fairly walkable. So my transit is taken care of. But, yes, they have improved their times. They have improved their service, and they are continuing to do studies to do that. But as far as how many buses they've replaced with hybrid or other types of vehicle fuels, I don't know.
But what is
CTS.
What is the method that you use at a meeting to convince people to use their car less? I mean, other than sort of being, you know, stepping forward and leading the way and being the wonderful person that you can be in a time of need, how do you convince somebody to, you know, don't put the key in your pocket and walk up there and fire up the car, but do this instead?
Well, I think one of the one way you can do that is through community support. So if, you know, one of the things that gets in the way of making those decisions is that, number one, you don't know of different ways to get around. You don't know of other people who are getting around using alternative transportation. So with the community support and kind of the community encouragement, then if you start to live in a neighborhood where lots of people are getting around that way, it might be easier to get around without a car, and also might be less popular to get around with a car.
All right, we got a call. Let's bring in Lisa from Charlottesville. Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
Hey.
My question is about the bus routes here in Charlottesville. I'm wondering if you're aware that there's no bus that goes to our high school. And if we're going to start with transportation and thinking about using our cars less, what about getting a bus route to the high school?
Oh, Lisa, bring it on. That's a great question. I'm going to hang up and let you catch on there, okay?
Okay.
All right, ladies, fire away. I like that. I mean, because everybody says you got to start with the youth and change their mannerisms before they're too set in stone.
Well, and also the eco fair is at the high school, so we're very aware that there's no bus route.
We had to get this alternate transit, that shuttle that we were talking about earlier, from the transit station that stops then at the office building, the county office building, then goes to the eco fair. So we're aware of the problem. Unfortunately, since I have no influence that I know of with CTS, I can't make that decision to magically create that bus line for you. But that is one of the things is locating places that are not, or identifying places that people want more service. Like I said, if you have a suggestion, I don't have the answers since I'm not with CTS, but feel free to contact CTS with them.
Hey, Michael, look up the phone number for Dave Norris. And bring that in here when you have a moment, okay? We'll call Mr. Norris and see. You talk about somebody who has, who can, you know,
change
push a
policy.
Little bit. Well, let's call Mr. Norris. He's been on the program before.
And Dave Norris and Ann Malik will actually be speaking at the Eco Fair on the 19th.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right, 11:33 here in the Wake Up Call, talking about the Charlottesville, Central Virginia Earth Week here in the studio. Amy Predmore, Tatiana Patton here in the studio with me today. Feel free to dial up, ask your questions. I love that question from Lisa. That's just pushing it. 979-0919, 1-877 WNRN Rocks. Let me take a moment and thank the Ivy Inn. They are featuring locally inspired seasonal American cuisine in an historic 18th century house with garden patio on Old Ivy Road in Charlottesville. The Ivy Inn serves dinner Monday through Saturday from 5 until 9. Reservations are recommended. More is at ivyinnrestaurant.com. All right, ladies. We're talking about the Discover Transportation Freedom Initiative, one of the three major campaigns from the 2008 Earth Week Eco Fair. Where do we stand on, you know, improving the carpooling? And we're discussing mass transit in terms of bus, but we know that so many people live in the other, you know, the surrounding counties. How do they, you know, what are we doing to get them to only drive to a certain point and then reduce the number of drivers, or you know, start further out with three or four people in one car?
Well, really expensive gas helps.
Also, getting together with your neighbors and forming a ride share. Or you can get involved with that through Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission. They run the ride share program, I believe, now. And if you've got, you know, a group of people and you're out in Greene County and you know that you're all driving to North 29 in Albemarle County and you don't have a ride share stop, find out what you can do to get one put in so that you can carpool more often.
And, you know, another thing to do is to, you know, take turns buying coffee. That way you only have to buy coffee once a week. All right, we are talking with Earth Week. Michael's trying to get Dave Norris on the phone. We'll see if he's home or not. I'm curious, is it really safe to bike and walk in Charlottesville as you talk about these alternative modes of transportation? Because the bike lanes are narrower than I think the suggested width for bike lanes. They aren't on some of the more dangerous roads. I don't know how you would put one on Route 20 or some of the other roads here in town, Barracks Road into town. There are not sidewalks along all the even all the roads near the hospital where so many of our area citizens work. So we talk about alternative modes of transportation, and then we don't provide them in a safe manner.
Well, actually, we've got someone on the Charlottesville city staff who's now working on exactly that problem. His name is Chris Jensik, and he's with the Parks and Rec Department. His official title is Trails Coordinator, and he is going through that process right now of figuring out where trails need to be hooked up with the Rivanna Trail that goes around town, the Greenbelt, to get people from that Greenbelt into town and make those connections through town so it is much safer to go from one end of the city to the other. Now, getting people from the county the same amenities, I'm not really sure who over in Albemarle County might be working on that. But I do know that Charlottesville City is working on making those connections.
All right, Michael was not able to get Mr. Norris on the phone, but Michael will bring in his email address so that before we finish up the hour, Lisa and others who are interested can email Mr. Norris and let him know of their need and their concern for having a bus line put in toward Charlottesville High School. All right, 11:38 here in the wake-up call. Let me do this little bit of business so we can come back without being disturbed.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, four sailors went to prison for the rape and murder of a young woman whose body showed DNA evidence of another man. Why did the Norfolk Four confess? Now that the renovation project at Charlottesville's downtown 3rd Street is a positive completion, people are wondering about the future of less other than inspiring streetscapes off the downtown mall. And the biggest cleanup headache may be spots on carpets. This week's Hook expert has fail-safe solutions. The Hook, open that red paper box and treat yourself. And 45fix.com is supporting us today. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate no-obligation estimates are available anytime. That's 45fix.com, the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. And this man just showed up, Drew Thompson, walking in the doom for Les Temps Perdue. If French isn't your thing, that means time's gone by, and WNRN, that means late 80s through mid-90s alternative tunes. Stay here, because at noon, Les Temps Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. All right, back in action with Amy Predmore and Tatiana Patton as we talk about Earth Week and a lot of the things that are going on here. Ladies, let's move on to the other two initiatives, part of EcoFair. Charlottesville CFLs. I'll read out this little bit here. Co-sponsored by Public Policy of Virginia and the City of Charlottesville, which looks to get free CFL light bulbs into low-income homes to reduce their energy bills while improving our area's ecological footprint. So, you know, pretty much we're giving away
light bulbs.
Light bulbs to people from a certain income level and below.
Essentially, yes. And to get back for one second, I did remember who is in charge of Albemarle Trailways. That's Dan Mahan over at Albemarle. So, Albemarle citizens, if you are wondering what's going on with your trail system, check in with them. But back to the CFLs. The CFL program was inspired by an energy conference, a climate change conference that we had at UVA last fall. And one of the last seminars of the day, which was presented by Joe Zakos at Virginia Organizing Project and Karen Fulton, was about environmental justice and how a lot of low-income homes do not actually participate in green lifestyle habits because they are too expensive. They know about them, or sometimes they don't, but they have got the awareness, but they don't have the resources. And this is one of the ways that everybody, changing out your incandescents for CFLs.
What is the cost of a regular light bulb or
about
a currently
$2 at
regular
Walmart.
Light bulb? How much?
You can get like four incandescents for like $2 or $3 at Walmart, and you can get a pack of CFLs for two CFLs for about $8 to $10 at Lowe's. So we're looking at a big cost differential if you're a family of four on the median income of about $34,000 here in Charlottesville. If you're looking at light bulbs and replacing them, and you've also got to get meat and bread and all this other stuff in your grocery cart at Food Lion, you may see them in the bottom row of the grocery shelf of light bulbs, but you're just going to be put off by the price tag because you have so many other things that you have to buy. So this is a way of getting something that's very energy efficient into your home. It will lower your electric bills, and it will help us meet the mayoral accords that we signed, which are the Mayor's Climate Protection Act, the equivalent of the Kyoto Accords. And that's going to take everybody reducing their own ecological footprint. This is one way that Charlottesville is trying to help lower-income families be a part of that process.
Not to, you know, like embarrass anyone, I wouldn't want to do that, but what kind of, you know, income level are we talking about?
I don't know. This is something that the Citizens Commission on Environmental Sustainability recommended.
How do you participate? You know, assuming that you're listening today or you read about it, how do you sign up?
Well, the Citizens Commission is going to have a booth at the Charlottesville City booth at the Eco Fair, and
I don't have time to attend that. I got two jobs.
Okay, so you contact the city's environmental office, rittervold@charlottesville.org, to find out. But what we're going to do is we've got a whole bunch of free bulbs, and we're going to try to collect bulbs from groups and from individuals who can contribute and donate free bulbs over the course of the year and hopefully beyond. This will be an ongoing campaign. And then we will give them out in batches of 50 to social justice groups like MACA and church parishes where you know that you've got a lot of people who could use this that would fall into that low-income bracket. And you take a pledge to distribute 50 of these bulbs to people who could use them and distribute them, install them, and that helps everybody. We'll keep trying to collect them and redistribute.
Instead of asking the individual who is already, I guess, uncomfortable with it because, A, they either know they can't afford it, or, B, they don't know enough about it, or, C, they don't have time to put the effort forth themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's that important, then we should go find them. And
yes.
I'm glad to hear that that's what's being done there is you're distributing it to groups who know who these people are and can take it on from that matter.
So basically, we've got two networks going, one to collect bulbs and one to redistribute them. So if you want to be involved in either network, please get in touch with us either at the Eco Fair or through the Charlottesville Environmental Office. Thanks.
And you can find that in the blue government pages?
You can find that at charlottesville.org, or you can find it on the Earth Week site, earthweek.org, just earthweek.org. And we have the links there to the environmental office, and the name is the contact there.
I was looking to see if the this delicious-looking programming. Somebody did a really nice job with this. Had anything in it, but
shout out to Zach and Andrea on that program. Yeah. They did a wonderful job.
All right, well, good job. 11:45 here on the Wake Up Call. Feel free to dial up and ask your question or make your comment. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Amy, I thought you had a comment.
Well, I was going to say that in addition to being really informative and inspiring, the Eco Fair should be pretty fun. We're going to have live music from four local bands. One is Bridgeland, one is Lua, and then there's Jeebus and Shad Dart. And then we'll also have lots of fun activities for kids and adults throughout the day. There's food provided by Sublime, All Natural, by Carpe Donut, by Rebecca's Natural Food.
I just like the name.
Yeah, it's a great name, isn't it? And then also by Horse and Buggy Produce.
Okay. Which leads us into the Local Foods for Life section. Nicely done, by the way, Amy. Because that's one of the other major campaigns for the 2008 Earth Week Eco Fair. I'm curious, you know, how do local foods fit into Earth Week? I can understand the whole concept of, you know, less pesticides and, you know, and all the other things that go along with not contaminating the earth to provide us with food.
It comes down to fossil fuel. It takes a lot to truck that 3,000 miles? 3,000 miles to get your Caesar salad at Kroger. And we are running out of fossil fuels, as we're being told constantly. So buying local, I mean, I think you brought up before the program, you know, what's the comparison? You have 50 trucks from all over
right.
the counties driving stuff into Charlottesville.
That argument is being made on a national basis. And again, I don't know the people who are saying, mm-hmm. you know, oh, the local truck, the local 50 trucks use more fuel. For all I know, they are, mm-hmm. you know, the public, you know, reps from, you know, the California, you know, produce industry or ExxonMobil, or, you know, I don't know where that argument is
as
coming from.
As gas gets more expensive, it's going to be a heck of a lot easier for us to get our food locally because, well, we aren't going to have the option of trucking it from Peru or wherever we're getting our bananas and our mangoes and our lettuce now in off-season. But that gets into the whole climate change issue. Basically, local foods also support a local economy. And we have the option of boosting what we do here and supporting each other, or the option of supporting people like Walmart and megastores. So I personally prefer to keep my dollars as local as possible. I think there are a lot of others who believe the same thing.
And I won't, you know, argue with you about allowing area farmers or area businesses to take home the profit, you know, from my pennies mm-hmm. rather than, you know, the national Kroger or whatever getting my, you know, getting my money. But I get, you know, but I come back to the question of how do local foods play into Earth Week? And so mm-hmm. fossil fuels, is there any other,
yes.
you know, any other method that goes into it as far as?
Well, you have to understand just how deep oil is embedded in our current food supply. First, you have oil in the tractors for plowing these really large fields out in Kansas somewhere. And then you have the petrochemicals that are put on the foods. On the fields, and then the water for irrigating those large fields is pumped using fossil fuel energy. Then it is shipped to be ground up and turned into flour or whatever, using more fuel. Then it goes to the factory to create packaged products that we buy in the aisles of the Kroger and the Food Lion and the Giants. That's more fuel. It's a fuel-saturated industry. And so if we're going to try to decrease our dependence on fossil fuels, we need to start buying things that can be done on a local basis. And a food shed is actually not all that small. A food shed is about 100 area, I guess, width
square
or
miles,
square miles or whatever, however they measure it. But it's an average of 100 miles. And so, you know, that means that we could get things from as far south as the border of North Carolina or up towards D.C., and it still is actually kind of practicable to keep that kind of transit involved in creating a food shed.
979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS. Dial us up if you have a question. Amy? I'm curious, you know, last week we did a program on honeybees, and the gentleman who was on as our expert guest mentioned that on your plate, two-thirds of your plate is somehow related to honeybees. Hmm. And a lot of people don't realize that. Well, when you talk about, foods from the earth and petrol fuels, etc. does this tie in any way to ethanol and corn related? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people are saying, yes, we need to switch to that. And other places around the world are saying, wait a minute, there goes my dinner. does this tie into Earth Week
fuel.
Anyway?
It is an issue that we're all going to have to consider. Public Policy Virginia is working on biomass, and we would like to go ahead with a biomass atlas project where we can identify and quantify what type of biomass feedstocks exist in the state so that they can become biofuels to help local production, local transit, local energy. This is obviously just at the very, very, very beginnings. But is it practicable to do ethanol or ethanol for gross product? I don't think so. I think we've seen enough studies that say that we don't really have the land mass to do entirely corn ethanol biofuel product. We would end up having to make that trade-off. At least that's some of the stuff that I've seen coming down the pike, and I have no reason to disbelieve it at this time. But that doesn't mean that there aren't other cellulosic biological product that cannot be also turned into fuel. We've got woody waste. We've got methane from and compost and poultry litter and all sorts of things that could also be created into biomass biofuel product. So we don't have to rely just on corn ethanol.
All right, we got a caller. By the way, before I take this call, Dave Norris on Charlottesville City Council and Lisa had called and asked about getting that bus route to Charlottesville High School. SevilleDave@hotmail.com. So I'll toss that out there again before we go. He's a very nice guy, and you know he'll have an answer for you one way or the other. We have Emily from Charlottesville. Hey, Emily.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm well.
I was just calling to comment on another reason that local food is so important for Earth Week, and that's sort of going along the idea of the process and where it's coming from, but you also have to consider the growing process and seasonality of food, and it's really important. Part of the local food movement is connecting people back to when food is grown and when it's available to you, and that's a big part of CSAs anywhere in America is seasonality of food, and if you want a tomato in November, it's not going to happen because tomatoes grow in summer. And so local food is all about educating people on where their food comes from, why it's so much fresher and tastes so much better, because it was not, it's fresh. It came out of the ground 2 days ago versus getting it from a 1,500-mile trip across the U.S. Or from Peru, wherever. So that's a huge, huge part of it that I think your representative forgot a little bit about, so I just wanted to call in and give that perspective.
Thanks, Emily.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Emily tossing back, you know, and that's something that people talk about a lot, and I love my mother to death, but she's the first person that if she's in a restaurant having lunch and her sandwich comes with a, you know, not so perfectly red ripe tomato on her January, you know, grilled chicken sandwich, will question me as to why they would even send this out. Well, that's because they have to pick it 3 weeks in advance,
yeah.
You know, and then you work with what you got. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I see the phone ringing again. We are winding down here. Here's an anonymous comment about the bus system. Idea, take older kids riding the school buses and move them to the regular public transit system. No duplication of costs, and public transit would then have to rise and meet the needs of more riders, making it easier and better for the rest of us to use it as well. Anybody want to jump on that and just make a quick comment?
Sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, no immediate ha-has or they didn't think of this. All right, 11:56 on the wake-up call. You are listening to WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. We have Bonnie online, too. Hey, Bonnie.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well.
Okay, I wanted to go back to the honey bee issue.
Now, that was last week.
No. This is what you just commented about.
Okay.
And I had some information for people who are growing food locally and who wish to participate and who do participate in the CSAs. If they read the label when they're doing their pest management applications, there are four components of pesticides and fertilizers. One of the fertilizers is used to, pesticides is used to control white fly in cattle. And we eat beef, and some people grow beef around here, and they sell it organically. So I don't know which one is white fly, but here are four chemicals to read the fine print for. And there, one is acetaminophen. The other one is imidacloprid. The other one is thioclopride, and thymethoxam, and these contain nicotinoids, which gets into everything. It's on our seeds that we plant.
Now, are these things that are on the local food, or?
Yeah, they can be. If you're purchasing seed for your organic garden, you need to look at the chemical content of what was applied to the dust to retard fungus, and everybody knows what I'm talking about there, because when you purchase seeds, either you propagate them yourself or you purchase them from a seed supply catalog or a seed supply house or someplace like a local farm store that sells feed and grain and things like that. So anyway, you need to just read the fine print, because you don't want this stuff to get into your supply. The best thing to do is to propagate your own seeds for your gardens. And like this lady just said, if it's November and there's no tomatoes and you want a tomato, suck it up, you know.
I assume that had an S at the front of it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I got to move on.
Okay,
because
so
we're
anyway,
out of time.
Great show, and keep it up.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Amy Predmore and Tatiana Patton here as we finish up our last minute or so on Earth Week. I will toss this out one more time. Lisa had called and asked about getting a bus route to Charlottesville High School. Seaville Dave at hotmail.com. Dave Norris, a wonderful man who has good intentions for everything that I've discovered. So email him and ask him that question. All right, ladies, a little less than 60 seconds left. Bring together the Echo Fair Earth Week stuff about cool things people should check out.
Well, check out the website, www.earthweek.org. That has all the information that you might need to help you navigate Earth Week.
That sums it up, I think, in a nutshell. We've had a great steering committee from a large number of organizations involved in Earth Week this year. Their organizations are listed on there. If you see anything or hear anything that makes you want to get involved, the links are on the website, and all of them, pretty much all of them, take volunteers.
And you got everything, right? You have music. You got bands playing.
Oh,
you got movies. You got stuff for kids.
Kids activities.
You have food. You have
arts
participation to have things done for you. Things where you can do things for other people. It's all out there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's the Earth Week that's really 10 days. All right. Thanks so much, ladies.
Thank you so much.
All right. Next week, program friend Lee Channing will be back in the studio. Call in with your questions about your future. Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Michael Strickland. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.